Okay, hi everybody. Welcome to Core Light's Spiritual Weather Report call for September 2020. And wow, what a time, huh? Leslie and I are here in South Africa. And as I was just saying, we're always so happy to reconnect with you, with the Core Light community, all of you who we know, and everybody who's new. If we haven't met you before, welcome. And I've been meditating on, you know, what to talk about today, and I have to say it's really, really challenging because I know keeping very careful track of what's happening in the U.S. and the vast majority of people in the Core Light community are in the western states of the U.S. and I just know it's really, really hard times for all of you right now. So all I can say is that Leslie and I are with you in spirit, and we are sending you our deepest compassion and our love, and we've been spending a lot of time in prayer and meditation and really, you know, talking with several people and connecting about what's actually going on. And of course, through the news, we're seeing the pictures and we're learning about the air quality and just, you know, the map of the fires in the West is just incredible. I mean, it's like the Armageddon, and I hate to use that word, but that's kind of how it feels. And I know that's what a lot of people are saying, is it just feels so hard right now. So I want you to know that we're with you in spirit, and feel our love, feel our hearts going out to you. And I'm hoping that today we can send you the Shakti energy to help uplift, and we can have a conversation that helps uplift and bring some comfort and peace during such challenging times. And Leslie's here sending the Shakti already. She is in meditation. And so I think without further ado, let's start our guided meditation for today. And then we'll go into a little bit of talking. And we had quite a few questions written in since last month. So we'll be responding to the questions that were written in, and some of them we're sharing. So we'll share some of those. And you're always invited to write in on the message board here at Instant Teleseminar to write in your sharing or your question. And, you know, we'll get to as many as we can today. And if we don't get to them all, we'll try to, you know, we'll save some for next time. So, okay, I invite you now to get comfortable and close your eyes and take a few long, slow, deep breaths and relax. And as you know, if you've been with us for a while, Leslie remains in silence, giving the transmission while I do the talking. And you are invited to be meditative throughout the call today and receive this transmission that we're sending from South Africa in this sacred land where we are. So continue the long, slow, deep breathing, which relaxes the body naturally, deeply letting go. And whether you're with us live today or you're listening to the recording later, it doesn't matter. We're all part of this field and we're all connected, because really there is no such thing as time and space. They don't exist except in the third dimension. So at this level of reality, beyond time and space, we can all tune in and connect in love. And just receive, feel the transmission of light and energy that's coming to you. And remember that this is a field that we're all participating in and generating together. And again, it doesn't matter if you're live with us or listening later, it's still there. We're still all together. You Breathing in the light and the life force that surrounds you. Breathing out any tension or stress in your body. Continue the breathing while we scan our body from head to toes and relax all the muscles. Visualize yourself relaxing under a beautiful waterfall of light, which is warm and healing. And just melts all the places where you're holding on to tension in the body, melting those knotted up muscles. Feel it pouring over you from the scalp all the way down the face, relaxing the eyeballs, letting them fall back into their sockets. Relaxing the cheeks and the nose and the mouth and the ears. Relaxing the back of the tongue. Just letting go completely. Relax the jaw, the back of the neck, the shoulders, arms, hands and fingers. Feel the warmth passing through your body and releasing all the tension. All the way down the torso, stomach, lower back, pelvis, hips, legs, upper legs, lower legs, ankles, feet, and toes. Just feel this wave of beautiful light and energy pouring over you from head to toes, deeply, deeply relaxing your entire body. Yawn if you need to. Yawning is deeply relaxing. You can stretch if you want to. Clasp your hands and stretch your palms upwards over your head. Stretching gently from side to side. Stretching your sides. Inhale, and then with a long, slow exhale, release your hands and your arms, going down to your sides again. And we can roll the head around gently on neck and shoulders. Very gently, so you don't hurt yourself. Just rolling the head around, stretching your neck. Very gently, in a circular motion, very slow and gentle, hearing the crackling and popping, and then reverse direction when you're ready. Deeply, deeply relaxing and letting go. When you feel ready, bring your head back to center. And then let's put our attention on the crown chakra. Feeling the crown chakra as a 1,000-petaled lotus on top of your head, opening up petal by petal. Unfurling itself, opening up and up and up. You might feel a tingling. You might feel sensation in your aura, some kind of energy. I know sometimes feels like you're wearing a hat or a sombrero. Allow the Shakti to pour down into you from above like a golden white light raining down. Open up your crown chakra like a funnel, opening up and out above your head. And just fill up with this beautiful energy of love, healing, deep, deep peace. It's the energy of the divine. Beautiful, gentle, warm, misty kind of rain from above. Relaxing, filling up your aura, filling up your body. Feel the light filling you up. Receive it. Just go completely passive. Go yin and receive this beautiful energy. Feel and visualize all the cells of your body like miniature sponges, trillions of little sponges soaking up the light, filling you up. Filling up your torso and your arms and your hands and your fingers. Filling up so much with light that the light begins to shoot out the tips of your fingers. Filling up your whole body down to your legs and feet and toes. So much that the light shoots out the tips of your toes. And just feel how relaxing and healing that is. Take in so much light. Breathing it in. It is life force, pure energy, pure love. And let's practice something called the inner smile, which is where you feel and visualize yourself smiling. You don't have to physically smile, but you might find the corners of your mouth turning up just a small amount. And that is enough to release the happy hormones in your brain, which help give you a little bit of an uplift. So feel that, relax into it. Feel the little bit of joy and love that comes from that simple act, imagining that you're smiling or actually smiling. And let's bring our energy all the way down to the root chakra. Put your attention gently on the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine. And feel how the root chakra naturally relaxes and opens just by putting your attention there. And if you're new and you've never done this before, it's okay. You can just relax and visualize it and set the intention that one day you'd like to feel this, and you will. But it's actually more than a visualization. It's actually happening as we work with energy, begin to feel it and sometimes see it. And it becomes our reality. So drop your grounding cord from the root chakra down to the center of the earth and connect with the center of the earth. And feel how anchoring and grounding that is. And allow gravity to slowly and gently pull you towards the center of the earth, which is very healing and relaxing, to just let go, knowing that you are supported from beneath by the Mother Earth. And now for a few moments, put your attention where you are being supported by the earth, where your feet or any part of your body is connecting with the floor or the chair. And just be with that connection. Feel how gravity pulls you gently towards that embrace of the mother. Letting go. Letting go like a little baby, let's go into the arms of its mother, completely relaxing. And bring the earth energy up into your body. All the way up the legs to the Sushumna, which, if you're new to this, is the core of the body. It's the core of enlightenment within each one of us, and it's like a tube of light that runs down the center of the body, right in front of the spine. So feel that energy of the earth pouring up into you and traveling up your spine, all the way up to the heart, up to the crown, and beyond the top of the head, out the crown, feel the Sushumna as a tube of light traveling out the top of your head and going out into formless space. You might see it connecting with a spiral galaxy, or with a sun, or maybe with a cosmic being of some kind, or a group of divine beings, multidimensional beings who support you. And feel and visualize the energy of those beings or this sun or this galaxy pouring down light and love into you, healing energy down into you. And as you receive this, feel how your body is the center point between earth and heavens. And just relax into that place like you're hanging there, hanging like a Christmas ornament on a tree, just hanging there, suspended between heaven and earth. Very grounded, but also completely connected to the celestial realms. Completely relaxed, completely open. Completely yin, just letting go and receiving earth energy from below and the celestial energies from above. Mother Earth, Father Sky, masculine and feminine supporting you equally. And while you hold this beautiful place of relaxation and receive the energy, I'm going to say a prayer and invocation for our call today. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, Self that we all are. We call on all the angels and archangels, all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, all the lineage masters, the gods and goddesses, all the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support, all who are known and all who are unknown. We call on you all, and we invite you into this space, this sacred space. We ask that you please surround us in a cocoon of healing, white light, and love. Please guide our conversation today into the highest love and the highest wisdom. Hold our hands and walk us along the path so that we may fulfill our soul's highest purpose. And we're deeply, deeply grateful for this opportunity to gather today, to be in this field of love together, to share our hearts, and to receive this beautiful gift of source energy. We say a special prayer now for all life, all sentient life on this planet, especially in the Western United States, who are affected by fires. The ecosystems, the animals, the people, all life. All creatures. We send our blessings. We ask that everybody be surrounded in love. Those who've lost their homes and possessions, those who've suffered death in the loss of loved ones or friends. And we extend this prayer beyond the Western United States to all people, all animals, all ecosystems. I know that there are extreme situations all over the planet. Life and death situations, from fires to illness to wars. And so we send a blessing to all life on this planet, to our beloved Mother Earth herself. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And now, when you feel ready, if you like, can slowly begin to bring your attention back into the room where you are and into your body. And you can either stay in meditation, or if you'd like to slowly begin to wiggle your fingers and toes and open your eyes, you're welcome to do that as well. And I invite you, even as we speak today, to stay meditative and receive, because the Shakti transmission will continue throughout the call. It's a great opportunity to receive. So if you start to get worked up or too emotional or thinking too much during the call, just come back to this place where we are right now. This place of deep peace and relaxation, where you can remember that this is who you truly are. You are this deep peace. You are this love. You are not the body. You're not the emotions. You're not the thoughts. This is all temporary, polyphemeral. Thank you. Alalaho. So, we were, in case you tuned in during the guided meditation, we were talking in the first minute or two of the call about just how challenging these times are. And I was saying how I feel a little bit at a loss because I'm here in South Africa. I'm not in the Western United States, where I know from so many friends, members of the Korlite community who are really struggling with everything from direct experience of fire to I know many people who've lost their homes. I know everybody's suffering from the air quality. And it feels a little apocalyptic, to say the least. So I just have been saying before the meditation, I was saying how I just want you to know that you have our compassion and our love, and we're with you in spirit through this really, really difficult time. So everybody that I speak to is feeling some kind of what I would call a melancholy or a malaise. There's borders on everything from, you know, being very extreme to out and out severe depression to feeling lack of purpose, feeling lack of meaning in life, feeling low energy, losing sleep, having challenging sleep periods. And I know physically the air quality doesn't help. I know not everybody who's calling in is calling from the Western United States, but the truth is that probably more than 90% of the Korlite community is in the Western United States. So please forgive me if you're not from there and I'm focusing on that today, but hopefully you'll join me in compassion and prayer for the people who are there who are deeply affected right now. Even if you're not there, times are hard everywhere, pretty much, from what I understand. And depression is okay. You know, depression is a normal response to what's happening on our planet right now. And as we've talked about in many calls, depression is one of the five stages of grief. So it's really important to recognize that that's where we're all at. We're all grieving. And if you're in the depression or the malaise or whatever you want to call it, even if it's mild, some people call it a battle weariness. You know, it's just like a sense of surrendering and giving up. And I think it's just important to allow it, you know, to let it be okay. To feel it and welcome it, to name it, witness it, and just greet it and recognize that it's okay. And then when we allow it, when we give it space, then we can allow it to pass through. But the temptation in a time like this is to make it real, to feel like it's never going to leave, to feel like it's the last thing we want to experience, and please go away, and we push it away. So if you're in that, that's totally understandable as well. And you can just be with that part of yourself. Be with whatever's there and just allow it. And you'll see eventually, if you just really allow the feelings to manifest, they will pass through, and you can release them and let them go. And eventually, you know, you move back into joy. You move back into a normal state. And the truth is our normal, quote unquote, state is joy. So be open to that. You know, it is possible to live in joy. even during challenging times. And I know sometimes it's really hard to hear when you're in the thick of it, but I'm just here to remind you, if you're down in it, that that is what awaits all of us, the ability to go through our challenging times and stay happy. And the way that works is it's a state of love. It's what Leslie has always called a state of objectless love. It's the state where our heart remains open no matter what. The permanently opened heart is where we're all headed. It's the new paradigm. And it's where we don't need outer things. We don't need our outer circumstances to conform to make us happy. We don't rely on that. We rely on our ability to respond to the circumstances to make us happy. Happiness is our own responsibility. So this is just a reminder, and forgive me if you're deep in it and you don't want to hear that right now. So I'll move on. I know how messy and how chaotic, how challenging the times are anywhere you are on the planet. You know, every country is going through its type of shadow. South Africa has its own version of shadow. They say 60% of small businesses have closed, and even some of the large national chains have closed here. And so, you know, people are wondering where this is going, and they're in fear. And I think that's true in a lot of places, that fear is permeating the consciousness. And that's normal during a chaotic time, during the time of the unknown, during messy times. A South African friend of mine pointed out to me the other day that the United States contains the word unity in it. It's the United States, but it's not very unified right now. And it's not just the U.S., it's worldwide. But especially in the U.S., I think the U.S. is maybe the hardest hit country perhaps right now, maybe one of the most anyway. I know Brazil is also, I'm leading a course for our Brazilian community right now, and they're also telling me just how hard it is there. Their country's quite a mess. So everybody's got their own flavor of the shadow right now, and it's not easy, but it's everywhere. And I want to talk about this today. Before I kind of get into that, I also just want to acknowledge that there's something else that I'm aware of that's happening right now for all of us. It's especially women, but also I would say sensitive men. So it's virtually everybody on this call. And we're all having a very hard time right now with the shadow coming up around our relationship with the masculine. So it's really important that we witness that we name it, and we witness our projections onto the masculine. You know, this is the culmination of 5 to 6 millennia of patriarchy. And so it's going to happen where we're feeling that shadow come up, and we're really seeing a new level of our own projections onto the patriarchy, onto the masculine. So it's really important to just witness it. Don't make it real. Don't blame. Don't get into, you know, it's all the fault of the tyrant or the organization that's tyrannical or whatever we tend to blame. It's really, we talked about this last month, so I'm not going to get into it too much, but it's really important to witness all of that right now. It's still playing out, so I'm just reminding everybody. Also, I wanted to just say I was aware over the last month, I heard from several channels, several very clear channels whose work I respect very much. And several of them have mentioned in the past month that they had visions of ladders or bridges connecting heaven and earth. And one of these channels was describing a situation which is just feels so true to me. So I thought I would just repeat it here. And he was saying that there's just a massive, actually, this was a woman. This was a woman who said this. And she was saying that there's a massive amount of support for the earth right now. And it's pouring down from the heavens, from the celestial realms. And she saw rainbow bridges connecting heaven and earth. And how we're not really aware of this, but to speak about it is important, to just be aware that there is a massive amount of support coming from the invisible realms for the planet right now. So to take heart, knowing that things are actually going very well at a certain level. Another channel was talking about these bridges as ladders. And he was saying that he's seeing a mass exodus from the lower realms out of the third dimension, out of the old paradigm into the higher realms. And there are also some people that are going the other direction, and they are buying into the fear. They're choosing to get sucked down into the lower realms by buying into the fear. So I wanted to just acknowledge that this is not just me seeing this. This is a lot of people, and I'll bet you're all aware of it at some level. And so witnessing the fear right now is critical, and to just be aware that it's a really good time to practice that, to practice the witnessing, and to remember that we're actually surfing a tidal wave of energy. There's a massive wave that is moving with us. All of us who are holding the light, all of us who have positive intentions, who are holding the heart space for the highest outcome for the planet, and anybody who's standing against that is not going to do well. So really important to remember that the energy is with us, and to not get sucked down into the lower energies through fear, which is actually very easy to do. So another thing to just witness and be aware of. Many, many things happening in the invisible realms, and things happening behind the scenes, under the surface, that we're not aware of. There's more support for us than we know. And so it's a good time also to practice trust. That all is well, that even though it looks like the apocalypse, it's not. Nothing is wrong. In the end, everything's going to work out just fine. I'm going to speak about this a little bit later in the call. I don't want to jump into it too much right now. There's something else I wanted to share. I was guided to share with everybody today, and I can't remember the last time I shared this. I know it was at least, if I shared it recently, it was at least 6 months to a year ago. So I'm sorry if this is a reminder, but it feels important. And it's a couple of really important downloads that Leslie got long ago. And they were very prescient. And I feel like it's a time that we can remember these and hold on to them, somehow knowing that this time was always coming is reassuring, even though it's a hard time. And the first thing that happened was in 1994, was shortly after I met Leslie, and we just started our relationship, and we came to South Africa to be part of the historic election of Nelson Mandela. And South Africa had just created a constitution that is one of the most enlightened constitutions on the planet. And it was so exciting. And there was this euphoria around the country. And it's hard to describe. It was actually one of the most powerful spiritual experiences of my life, to be in Johannesburg during the election, where everyone was thinking the same thought. And there was this experience of unity consciousness, because it was one mind, one heart. But what happened was, after that, Leslie started offering darshans in South Africa and teaching here about 6 or 7 years later. And the country was very disillusioned. It was like the honeymoon was over. Clearly, people thought, we are not moving towards the goal of the Constitution, we're being taken down a very different road. And it's dark and it's shadowy and it's not okay. And so people asked about this a lot, and Leslie spoke quite a bit about it. And what she pointed out, which I want, this is the part I wanted to bring out today, what she pointed out is that the path of a collective is very similar to the path of an individual, psychologically speaking and spiritually speaking, because a collective is just a bunch of individuals. So she always said that on the individual's spiritual path, the journey of awakening begins with the commitment. It's actually how everything begins, is with a commitment. So on our spiritual path, we might set a high ideal for ourselves, like a goal of enlightenment, or a goal of keeping the heart open all the time, or a goal to know deeper levels of gratitude or wisdom or whatever it is we ask for. But we're not taken there right away. First, what happens, we might get a taste of it. We might be given a little honeymoon period where we get a taste of it. But then what happens is we get taken to all the places inside of us that limit us and block us from achieving those levels of consciousness. So the very first thing after the honeymoon is that, if we've set the intention to awaken, the first thing that happens is the shadow comes up. So we get to review and we get to examine and witness all the parts of us that are not in alignment with the goal we set. All the limiting patterns, all of the habits, all of the beliefs, whatever it is, it's going to come up for review, because we have to review it and witness it and process it and let it go in order to achieve the goal. So it's the same for a collective. After a collective sets a high intention, like South Africa did with its constitution, which is one of the most enlightened on the planet, the collective then gets to experience what could be called a dark night of the soul. And so that's what's happening all over the world right now. And it's especially in the United States, and it's very much in Brazil. And forgive me if I haven't named your country, but I bet you it's in your country. It's probably in every single country right now. That's my understanding, is that we're being taken through our collective awakening. And we're down at the very bottom of the downward spiral. We're down in the pit. And I know that most of you know this, but it's just a reminder that when we're deep in these negative states, to remember that this too shall pass, and that it is actually helping us to achieve our goal. There's nothing wrong, even though it looks terrible. So the other thing, the other story that I wanted to speak about, that I was reminded of this week, was something that happened for us around 9/11. And I'll bet you many of you on the call who've been around Core Light for a long time might have been at this event or heard the recordings of the event, but it was an event that Leslie led in Berkeley, California, and it was on September 8th, 9th, and 10th of 2001. So the 3 days before 9/11, and it was one of the only times, one of the very few times that Leslie was ever sick during an event, in my experience, in 30 years. She had an incredibly sore throat, and she almost couldn't speak, and we almost canceled the event, but she just kept saying, no, 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 I know I need to do this event. There are things that Spirit wants to speak through me, and I have to show up. So through a very clenched throat and a hoarse voice, Leslie spoke the words the day before 9/11, or the days before 9/11. She got very vehement, and she said, can't you see what's happening in your country? You're about to lose all your freedoms. And I don't think any of us really knew what the heck that was about at the time. But she grew up under apartheid in South Africa for most of her, for her first 30 years of her life. And what she said was, look, I'm wired for this. I'm wired to feel the creeping of totalitarianism. It happened in my country, and I'm telling you, it's happening here. I'm deeply sensitive, and I have the feeling in my body, and it's happening here. Pay attention, people. So I guess I share that because I've been feeling lately, and so many others as well, a very similar situation, a very similar vibration. And it's been in the collective for the past few months since all the lockdowns. And there's a ramping up of that vibration right now. And those same chords that were twanging in Leslie at 9/11, they're twanging inside a lot of us right now. Many people I know are saying the same thing. So we know from, if we've studied history at all, we know that the powers that be often take advantage of times of crisis to move forward with agendas of totalitarianism or fascism or authoritarianism, whatever you want to call it. And there are many examples of how major collective dramas force countries away from their freedoms, from their idealism. They strip the freedoms away, and it leads down the road of authoritarianism. And one of the things I heard recently was a speech by Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and it touched me very deeply inside. And I actually transcribed it, and I want to read it to you. It feels apropos for our times. So let me just get it here. I'm just going to read it to you. This is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that said this. It's an excerpt of a longer speech. He said, during the Nuremberg trials, Hermann Göring was asked, how did the Third Reich persuade the German people to give up rights and do things like tell on their neighbors, tell on their families, and send people to prison for political crimes? This was, after all, one of the most established constitutional democracies and one of the most tolerant nations historically in Europe. Göring said, it's the same formula for a democracy, for a monarchy, for a republic, or for a totalitarian regime, whether it's communist or fascist. It's the same formulaic solution. How do you get people to do what you want? He said, you point to something that scares them. To the Jews, to the Bolsheviks. Sorry. To the bourgeoisie, to the British, to the Americans, to the Poles, or to the Russians. And you say, we can save you. This is a threat. And if you do that, you can make people do anything you want. And he continues, he says, today, the ideology has been replaced by public health concerns. We're living through a period in our history where those public health concerns are allowing a control by government officials and corporate officials over our people that has never been seen, a level of control that was unimaginable to Hitler or to Stalin or to Mao or to the worst tyrants in history. So I'm not going to share anymore, but that felt important to me. It really hit me in the heart, and I thought, okay, well then I better share that. I apologize, we don't usually talk about this kind of thing on our calls, but it feels important to talk about now. So I just want to be clear, I'm not talking about any political party, I'm not talking about a specific politician. This is not about that. It's way beyond that. This is about recognizing that we're in a time of crisis. And we need to be aware of what's happening in the bigger picture. And we need to be aware of any agenda that would take us down a road of taking away our freedoms or taking away positive aspirations or derailing idealism or anything that moves towards authoritarianism. And it's all because of fear. And in this case, it's the fear of a virus. So I feel like Kennedy and many other people are right to be ringing an alarm bell and reminding us to wake up to a bigger picture. And they're really talking about a collective process of fear. And it's exactly what Gehring said. It's all about fear. And if we buy into the fear, we get led down a very dark road. And it turns out to be a dead end. And that road does not end well for anybody who chooses that. And so what's the solution? What is the solution here? And it's kind of a rhetorical question, because if you join these calls at all, you know we talk about this all the time. And it's about witnessing the fear and letting it go. It's about choosing love instead of fear. It's about acknowledging the fear and being with the fear and choosing to act with courage anyway. Courage being a heart state. Courage, courage, cor, the heart. And when we live in that high consciousness, when we're living in love, everything changes. And like we were saying, because the path of the collective is like the path of the individual, everything's going to change when enough of us are not buying into the fear, but rather witnessing it, letting it go, living in love, all the things we know how to do, using all the spiritual tools in our toolkit. And we need to remember as well that we don't need 51% of the population to do this. It's not like a democracy. You just need a very, very small percentage. And I feel like, I know all of this is a reminder for you, but I'm coming to something new here that I don't think I've ever said before. And it brings me to kind of what I feel is the heart of our call today. And I believe we're already there. I believe that we're actually already there, that we have the tipping point. We have the number of people who, like us on this call, are living for love, setting the intention for love. It's already happening. And my strong belief is that we're manifesting this breakdown right now because there are enough of us already holding the light and living in love and holding these positive intentions. I don't believe that the breakdown and the chaos that's happening is because of a corrupt leader or because of weather or because of an incompetent government or a greedy government or corporations or whatever, or a global cabal or an evil force or aliens or whatever it is, whatever the different narratives are. My strong belief is that because we are holding the light, the shadow is arising. And that's the natural thing. And it's leaving. When we do this work and allow the fear, allow the shadow, witness it, let it go, you know it. You've been through it. It leaves. So we're on this path to what we call the new paradigm of the heart. And it's my strong belief that it's assured that it is happening. It's coming. This is the timeline we're on. It's already assured. And I think the real question that's probably on everybody's mind is, well, how long is it going to take? And how messy is it going to look before we get there? And I think that's the million-dollar question. Those are the million-dollar questions. So I've heard different things from different sources, but and I've got my own intuition about it as well, as I'm sure you do. But the sources that I trust the most, they say, the clearest channels I know, they say it's going to take about 200 years to become fully established in the new paradigm of the heart, where everybody's living in a totally heart-centered culture. But I've also heard, and again, this is my personal intuition as well, is that the next 10 years are a pivot point. Like, this is the key moment. We're making a massive turn around in these next few years. It's begun. It's begun. You know, we've been for millennia like a juggernaut heading down this path of patriarchal, destructive abuse of power. And it's a locomotive. So it's going to take a little time to turn it around, to, you know, stop it and reverse directions. But it's happening now. It begins now. I mean, it actually began, I believe, in 2012, with December 21st of 2012. There was a massive energy shift. It happened on the inner planes then. I felt it. Leslie felt it. Many of you felt it. But now it's playing out physically. This is the time where the energy catches up with the physical reality. And so there's this massive turnaround that's happening right now. And so I have to tell you, I'm having a very different experience than most people I know. I'm feeling incredibly excited. I feel incredibly inspired. And I know others who feel the same. And it comes from knowing deep in our bones that this is the time we incarnated for. We're here for this. This is why we showed up. We're here to wake up. We're here to graduate from the third dimension, from the old system of patriarchy or the system of separation or whatever you want to call it. And we're here to help other people. We're here to help support or lead or whatever your role is. If you're on this call, my guess is you're somebody who's going to be helping people. And so we need to remember that the momentum is with us, even if it doesn't seem like it. And to remember that things are not what they appear to be right now. We cannot judge. We cannot put all our eggs in one basket. You know, we can't buy into something we hear, especially if it's from the mainstream media. Nobody really knows exactly what's going on. So it's all about what we've talked about for so long. And that is holding the tension between the two sides of the polarity. It's about neither believing nor disbelieving. And it's about laughter. It's about play. It's about practicing self-care. It's about all the things we know to do that keep us going. We're in it for the long run here, and so we do need to focus on our own care. And I'm not going to belabor this because we talk about it often, but it's worth mentioning today. So anyway, I'm looking at the time. We have about an hour left, and I feel somewhat complete. So before we open up, and Barbara, I'd like to hear from you, but before we open up, I just want to also mention that a lot of these things that I'm talking about today are going to be part of the course that I'm starting to teach, which starts in a week and a half. Starts in 2 weeks on September 27th, Sunday, September 27th. It's called The New Paradigm of the Heart, Transcending Victim-Tyrant Consciousness. It's on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific. And registration is open until Tuesday, September 22nd. So I know many of you have signed up already. We've got a good turnout already. And if you haven't had a chance to sign up, I think it's going to be very powerful. I'm teaching it right now to the Brazilian group, and we're having an amazing experience. Spirit is really supporting this work right now. There's so much light that comes into the calls, and so much really positive processing and breakthroughs coming out of it that people are having. They're giving me a lot of positive feedback. They're really making some shifts, as am I. I include myself, because we're all working on our next layer, our next level of victim tyrant consciousness. And if you're in a body on the planet, there's another layer. It's the biggest. the biggest knot in consciousness on the planet. It's the thing that's holding us back from the new paradigm. So this is really what the benevolent beings who guide our planet want us all working on right now, is this particular process of victim tyrant consciousness and working on stepping more into permanently opening the heart. So, okay, I know we have quite a few questions that people wrote in, and Barbara, would you like to share with us? Is there anything that you're seeing you'd like to share?
Thank you, Brad. Great conversation today. I'm in Northern California, as many of you know, with the fires and the air quality being challenging. So great to hear all that you are sharing with all of us. It's temporary, and the light bringing up the shadow, very, very helpful. And as I was turning inward and asking what was wanting, needing to be shared, what came for me in alignment with all that you're sharing is inner compassion. And I think that goes along beautifully with, you know, the fears that are coming up and strengthening the witness and allowing whatever it is that we are feeling to be explored and released, because the shadow is on being mirrored from the outside in the inner. And we have ways that we have used in the past to deal with the shadow. And many of us are very blessed to have been with Leslie over these many years and have learned so many tools. And those of us who are newer to at least Leslie's teachings, these are going to be tremendously beneficial as we continue to move through this Maya, this Leela. And the inner compassion for me, and perhaps for others as well, is about all the ugly, challenging, scary places as well. And just to notice, you know, the judgment, and that too gets to have our compassion. I know that there has been a program of perfection and needing to be perfect and not being able to tolerate or accept anything that is not perfect. And it, you know, really sets us up for failure. So I've really been guided to talk about, or to at least bring to our awareness and remind ourselves and each other about the inner compassion. Because how can we be compassionate towards others on the outside if we are unable to be compassionate within? So I think that's a big piece and part of our journey.
Thank you, Barbara. Beautiful. Yeah, I agree with you completely.
Yeah. Okay. Mm. And so I don't know if you want to say more about that, Brad, or you want to go and look at some of the questions.
No, I think it stands on its own. I think what you said is very powerful and stands on its own. So thank you.
You know, the only other thing I would add to that, Brad, is, you know, because these are such extremely challenging times, and because we may feel somewhat isolated, I would highly encourage people to reach out to each other and ask for help, even if it's a friend that's been on the path with you and you're feeling extremely challenged. It's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to share our deepest, darkest secrets. And, you know, we want to be there for ourselves and think I can do it on my own, which is another old pattern. And, you know, we don't want to show others, you know, that we don't have it all together. And it feels to me like more than ever, we need to call in someone else who can be our witness when we are traveling through the deepest, darkest night of the soul, individually and collectively. So that's the other piece that I would really like to encourage people to do, is to reach out and ask for help.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Okay. So here we go, Brad. Here is the first question, and it's from Lindley. And she says, "Hi, Brad. In one of the spiritual weather reports, I recall you mentioning that some psychic had seen that COVID would, after a time, just mysteriously come to an end, vanish, disappear. Reading the article below, I remembered you saying that and thought you might find this information to be some potential confirmation and explanation for how that might happen, God willing." And so this is the story at a glance by Dr. Luc Montagnier. He is a Nobel Prize-winning virologist who discovered HIV in the 1980s, said on the French media that COVID-19 was man-made, contains elements of HIV, and a parasite that causes malaria and resulted from an industrial accident during HIV vaccine development. From the article, Montagnier also said that he believes that the pandemic will naturally extinguish itself because of its synthetic origins. And here's a quote: "Nature does not accept any molecular tinkering. It will eliminate these unnatural changes, and even if nothing is done, things will get better. But unfortunately, after many deaths." That's end quote. And then according to the website Corvelva, Montagnier said on the podcast that the pandemic would peter out because nature would override the synthetically inserted sequences that make COVID-19 so deadly. So that is Lindley's sharing. And I would...
Thank you, Lindley.
Yeah. I'd offer that it was Sylvia Brown who predicted, and she's no longer in body, but she predicted before she died that this pandemic would happen, and that it, she's the one that said that it would disappear.
When I read this article that Lindley sent, there was something in me that felt hopeful about it. So I thought it felt like a good one to share with everybody. So thank you, Lindley, for sharing that with us.
Okay, and so here is another question or comment from Jane. And she says, "For years, I've heard about the importance of neutrality, finding the middle way, and not vacillating between polarities. I liken it to the fulcrum of a teeter-totter, and I've been comfortable there for a long time, gently swaying in the breeze between the right and left, between my liberal and conservative friends. However, at this point, I feel complete confusion. My dear friends in California have gone so far left that I find it hard to relate to them. This is a huge loss. When I look at the political scene in the U.S., I no longer see a middle ground. For now, I accept my place of confusion and trust that over time, truth with a capital T will reveal itself. I think about your upcoming class regarding victim-tyrant and wonder if it will further complicate my confusion or offer clarity. There's no doubt that the victim-tyrant polarity is running rampant throughout the world today."
Yes, that is true. And Spirit picked this theme out for the course a year ago. And I think it was very timely. Who knew what we'd be going through a year ago? But anyway, Jane, thank you for your sharing, for your question. I think you've hit on a theme that many, many people are feeling. There's just so much polarization in the world, especially in the United States, but everywhere. And I think in the last call, I think it was last month, we talked about how, we're being divided. And the left think that the right are deluded and tyrannical, and then the right think the same about the left. They think the left are deluded and tyrannical. So it's I think you're really talking about practicing witnessing. And really, that's the only way we can go right now. And like we were just talking about, it's this holding the tension between the two sides of the polarity. And it's not easy, but it's the practice that is, it's just the most important thing for us right now. We have to do this, neither believing nor disbelieving, holding that witness place, holding the tension between the two sides. And it's incredibly beneficial, not just for our own spiritual evolution, but also for us to help manifest the third way. And that's Carl Jung talked about that. He talked about the third option manifesting when we hold the tension between the two sides. And we can't see what that third option might be, but it is there. And we're being asked to hold the tension for a very long time. So it's very tense. And I hear you. I mean, there's just so much confusion out there. And, we have one set of facts, but we've got radically opposed narratives. So how can that be? How can that be? It's surreal. It boggles the mind. And on the surface, it seems easy to take a side. You know, I occasionally will hear something. I go, oh, well, that's true. Of course that's true. And I start to say, oh, no, wait, let's get back into the center. Because the truth, the real truth is that nothing is how it appears right now. Nobody really knows exactly what's going on. And my strong belief is that there are grains of truth in both narratives, there are probably more than two narratives. There's plenty of narratives, but there are grains of truth in all of it. And I guess the question, as I hold the tension, the question that goes through my mind is that, what if both sides are puppets of some other agenda? What if a lot of the confusion that we're going through is designed? What if it is intended to be a massive distraction from something else? So as I hold the tension, I just consider these questions. I'm not trying to propose an answer. I'm not trying to say, point any fingers. I guess to respond to the part of your question about the course, obviously the plan is for it to offer clarity, not to create confusion. So really what I want to say, and this is something that really excites me, so I'm glad you asked it. I really want to share this. And it is that the course is about seeing beyond the third dimensional reality. It's beyond the window dressing of the details of these earthly dramas that we're all looking at, of, you know, what's the political party, who's the politician, what's the left or the right, or whatever the window dressing is. It's about looking at this from a much, much bigger perspective. And it's about seeing the patterns that are involved and recognizing that it's time now that we can end these dramas. We can end the patterns. We can complete this cycle of several thousand years. And the truth is that we've played out the victim-tyrant scenarios for millennia, many, 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 many lifetimes since time immemorial. And every time, the window dressing's different. Every time that we've played these victim-tyrant scenarios out in countless revolutions, in countless lifetimes, in countless personal dramas over those lifetimes, the bodies that we wear in those times, the languages that we speak, the uniforms and the weapons that we use, you know, they all look different, but the patterns are the same. So really, our purpose in this life right now is to look at healing and clearing those patterns once and for all. And that's the thing that's so exciting to me about this topic, is that in the third dimension, with all these myriad of dramas that have ever played out and that can play out, there are only five patterns. There are only these five roles. And isn't that extraordinary? I mean, I just find that absolutely extraordinary, that of all the countless dramas we could ever imagine playing, there are just these five roles. And so once we know the five patterns or roles, and once we know how they work, then we can let them go. And that is the key. That is freedom. It's our ticket to joy. It's our ticket out of that system. And to be clear, I'm talking about the third dimension. I'm talking about the system of separation. I'm not talking about the higher dimensions where things are more balanced. In the new paradigm of the heart, we live in a love-based reality rather than the reality that's based in the abuse of power. So the stakes that we're looking at right now are higher than ever before. And the tyrants we're facing are bigger than ever before. And the level of victimization that we're going through is bigger than ever before. So it's the fate of the planet. It's the fate of the planet's ability to sustain life or not, to become an extinction event or not. Our own species survival, it all hangs in the balance. And so this is the time. This is the time that we incarnated for, and it's graduation. And so I just get very excited. I was so happy to see your question, Jane, because I feel like we're all taking our next step out of that victim-tyrant consciousness and into living in the new paradigm of the heart, where the heart is open permanently. So that's what the course is about. And if you're considering it, I do hope you'll sign up. I hope you'll join. It's going to be great. And Jane, I hope that helps answer your question a little bit. I can resonate. I have compassion. I'm right there with you. And I'm sure most people on the call are as well. Okay, so that feels complete, Barbara.
Great, Brad. Thank you. Okay, the next question is from Lynn. And she says, how would you explain the role/archetype of the advocate? How to proceed in an enlightened way, and what polarities you could describe associated with this archetype?
Well, it's interesting. I like that name. I like the name that you've given that archetype, the advocate. It sounds like a very balanced, a very sane form of serving and supporting other people. And service is such a critical component of the new paradigm of the heart. So when we're living in that new paradigm of the heart, there's much less polarity than we've experienced in the system of separation. And there's still some polarity in the heart, but not nearly what it's like in the 3D. So in the new paradigm of the heart, I would say that that there are archetypes like the advocate there. And what I would actually maybe call it the sacred activist. That's an archetype that's similar. And so I would say, you know, this archetype that you're describing, or what I would call sacred activism, it's about putting love into action. And it's about learning to serve from a more enlightened place, where we're not serving in a polarized way. So, for example, we're not looking to get approval, or we're not serving to get some kind of reward. We're not being generous so that we can feel good. I mean, it's helpful. It's great to feel good, but it's not so that we can feel like a savior. Let's say, savior being one of the five archetypes. Because in that role, that's where we feel needed. We feel needed, we feel important, we feel powerful in that role as a savior. And so you asked about polarities in your question. And so what I would say is when we play the role of the savior or the rescuer, then we're in a polarity with a victim. And we create a cycle of dependency. And just as we want to feel needed and important and powerful, then we're going to trap the recipient of our service in the opposite side, which is what? So feeling needy instead of feeling needed, feeling unimportant instead of feeling important, feeling powerless instead of feeling powerful. So that, I mean, we could go on, but you get the point. So that is the savior-victim polarity. And it's interesting you bring this up because this is one of the things we're going to be talking about in the course. It's one of those are two of the archetypes, the victim and the savior. So we're going to look at those dynamics in a lot more depth, and we're going to unravel them, and then we heal and clear those patterns in us. So that we can give and serve from this place of clarity and unconditional love. And I think that's what you're referring to in your question. So that's what comes from this work that we do in the new paradigm. So thank you for your question.
Okay, so the next question comes from Sarah. And Sarah asks, can you talk more about discernment and compassion as they might specifically be applied to the current racial upheaval in the U.S.
Yeah, I think we did talk about those last month. I would say practicing compassion is critical right now. I mean, that's how we began our call today. We're talking about compassion, you know, the level of challenge that people are going through in the world right now at any given moment. It's something massive for any one group of people. So, but especially in terms of, you bring up racism. So especially in terms of healing the racism in our culture, we need to practice compassion. And we can learn to have compassion for those who are the subject of the racism and also for the racist as well. And we can practice self-inquiry, right? And look at all the places inside of us where we might be holding racism ourselves, and especially looking at whatever unconscious shadow aspects might need to be brought to the surface and be made conscious so that we can heal. And then, like Barbara was just saying, you know, we need to practice compassion for ourselves. You know, we've been raised in a culture that was founded on racism. Most parts of the world, but especially America. And so we need to continue to practice compassion and also the self-inquiry for ourselves and for everybody who's involved. So it's important work for all of us. And I think you mentioned discernment. So let's just say that's also an incredibly important practice right now. We talked about it last month. I think it's discernment is especially important if you're watching the news, if you're watching especially the mainstream media treatment of racism, because I think it can be specifically designed to stir up strong emotions in us. And that's not, I'm not saying it's good or bad. I'm not judging that, but I'm just saying that it's important if you're watching the news, especially mainstream media, to practice discernment. So for example, some of the emotions that it stirs up are fear and anger. Those are the two big ones. And I think that's intentional. I think it's intended to stir up fear and anger. So it's going to be about witnessing our emotional response to racism, discerning what's really going on right? What's actually happening beyond the hype. And you might discern that you're being manipulated. You might discern that you want to process that along with the issues around racism. So discernment, yeah, discernment is a key for all of us. So I hope that helps. Thank you, Sarah.
And may I bring in here the lower state of consciousness of judgment?
Please.
I know we're talking about discernment, and I know we're talking about compassion, and we've been indoctrinated, if you will, for thousands of years about judging. And so it can be challenging and tricky, because sometimes we can call our judgment discernment.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I would really ask people to really go in and ask, am I discerning or am I judging? And the other piece of that is, right along with this, to go in and ask your inner knowing, your inner wisdom, your high self to show you. Because so many times as we're really struggling to awaken out of this 3D consciousness, we're still in egoic process. And it's difficult and challenging to find our way through that. So guidance for me has been to seek higher ground. And what it has meant for me is to go within and ask to be shown. And it is profound how we are shown when we ask. So I'd just like to add that into.
Good point. Thank you, Barbara. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thanks, Brad. Okay, so we've got a question now from Susan. Susan says, I'm struggling with the issue of trying to help my 92-year-old parents who are insisting on living independently, but they are realistically dependent on me and my two sisters to take turns staying with them for 2 weeks at a time. Specifically, I alone was physically and emotionally abused by him, I'm guessing she means her dad, my entire childhood, but his weakened state makes him no longer a threat to me. Please, can you help me to see the deeper meaning behind this drama and to develop a perspective that allows me to acknowledge my feelings that I feel, quote, honor-bound to help him and also allows me to handle this situation fully engaged with demonstrating my soul qualities?
Hmm. Well, thank you, Susan, for writing that in. I can feel when I tune into you, I can feel that you're a very compassionate person and that you're very loyal and devoted. And it's great that you're helping your parents. And I know when we go through this this time when our parents are ailing, you know, it can be a very, very precious time. It's a time of bonding. It's a time when we can actually help them cross over. It's a time when we can heal all kinds of old wounds in the relationship. So I really honor you for what you're going through. I know how it's not easy. A lot can be brought up. You know, a lot of shadow can come up. So God bless you as you do this. And I guess I don't know you, so I guess my question to you would be, I wonder what kind of healing work you might have done around the abuse by your father. And it feels like you've done some. I can feel that you've done probably quite a bit of healing and witnessing around it, that you have a capacity to witness, which is fantastic. And I guess I would just say maybe part of the reason for this situation that you're in now is so that there might be another layer there that you're ready to take a look at and heal and let go of. And so that's probably at least partly why you've invited the drama in, because it's a great opportunity for you here. So my recommendation to you is I think I understand that you're new to Core Light, but maybe you've been reading the Marriage of Spirit book. So I get the sense that you would benefit from really doing some polarity processing around the issue to get really clear on what's going on there and what your highest path is here and where you might be tied up with your family, especially if you feel there's an imbalance. So if you've read the Marriage of Spirit book, you can use those tools. And I would highly recommend contacting Barbara, because Barbara is a master processor. And so you can work with her in a one-on-one capacity to learn the techniques a little bit more than from the book, and you can take your next step in that journey. And I guess I would also add that if you're feeling bound, I guess, I think you used the word bound, if you're feeling bound by a sense of duty or loyalty to help your father, then you really want to focus on that specifically, on the polarity processing, to be sure that you're not stuck in what I would call a martyr role, the martyr role being one of the five archetypes. So in other words, you want to be sure that you're not playing out egoic patterning with your father that might be related to the martyr, which is, for example, self-sacrifice or bearing burdens. And what happens when we do this is we end up negating our own soul's highest path. So I share that with you. I also would recommend it, if you want to join the course, we're going to be taking a deeper look at all of that as well, because again, the martyr is one of the most important archetypes to look at. And so we'll be looking at how we play out the savior and the martyr in situations like this. And we'll be looking at how to serve from the highest place and not being stuck in polarity in a pattern. So to meditate on it, and you might want to consider joining us if it feels like that might be beneficial for you right now. But when you find that clear place inside and you feel like you've healed those patterns, you can serve from that place. And that is one of the most fulfilling and rewarding things for any of us on the planet, to offer service from that clear place. And so this is for everybody, not just Susan. But when we're doing that, when we're living out service from that high place, we're living out our soul's highest purpose, the soul's highest qualities, through service and giving, generosity. And that's the essence of the new paradigm of the heart. That is what it's about. It's really about learning how to put our love into action from a healed place, a whole place. And again, we'll be looking at all of that a lot more in the course. But so anyway, I hope that's helpful for you, Susan, and welcome to Core Light. I'm really happy that you've found us, and that I hope the techniques that we offer are helpful for you. So lots of love. I'll keep you in my prayers.
Beautiful. And I'd like to say...
You want to share?
Yes, please. I'd like to say, Susan, that I, too, took care of both of my parents through their transition. And so I can totally relate and understand what you are going through. And one of the things that I found immensely helpful, that you may too, is what is happening is your early childhood patterning that you mentioned about being physically and emotionally abused are being triggered once again. And so there is a wonderful technique called the frozen child technique that really helps us to get in touch with those parts of us that have remained frozen over all of this time, and to meet them in a wise way and reparent them. So I would highly, highly recommend that you explore that possibility as well. And I am so with you, Susan. we are all with you, and many of us can relate to what is happening for you. And what I would say is what looks like the greatest challenge ultimately may become the greatest gift.
Oh, beautiful, Barbara. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And thank you, Susan. So we have a few comments on the Q&A board, Brad.
Okay. I'd like to, Barbara, I would like to leave about 15 minutes for the final prayer and meditation. So maybe we take a couple of them. We've got about maybe 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Okay,
Good.
Sorry,
good,
go
Brad.
Ahead.
No, I was going to say they're relatively short. So, yeah, 10 minutes. I'll keep my eye on the time. Okay, so this first comment is from Chris Berlin, and he says, an affirmation that we all hold those in danger on the West Coast in what Hindus call Indra's jeweled net. May all of us on the call hold each other in recognition of the jeweled net of hearts we share through our interconnectedness. We hold you all in this safety net of our hearts and stand with you openly and without judgment in whatever you may be going through. Big love is with you. Thank you, Chris.
Oh. Yeah, thank you, Chris. How beautiful. I love that image of Indra's jeweled net. So let's all just take a moment. Well, we'll do this in the guided meditation at the end, but let's just
take a
pause. Yeah, let's just reflect on that for a moment. That was so profound. So let's just hold our brothers and sisters who are really in extremis right now in the West. The fires are just out of control, especially in Oregon and parts of California. So God bless you all.
And I can really feel that jeweled net energetically.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Crystal Linda says, what we are seeing is the outpicturing, whatever our favorite ones are, of our worst fears. None of them are actually real. We are waking from the dream.
Beautiful. Thank you, Linda. Crystal. She changed her name. Crystal Linda. Not Crystal Linda. Thank you, Crystal Linda.
Yes.
Thank you.
And Sarah and Ken from San Jose say, thank you for offering the gift of these calls. And then Alana says, the book that I referred to by Sylvia Brown is called End of Days. And she also predicts about the presidential election. And then Crystal Linda says again, yes, go beyond all the stories and rationalizations to those five positions, victim, tyrant, rebel, savior, martyr. I have begun to always look for that.
Well, let me say, Crystal Linda is actually taking the course right now with me as I offer it to the Brazilian group. Because she lived in Brazil as a child, so she asked if she could join that course. So she's having, we're all having a very powerful experience with this material in a new way. You know, Leslie offered this material long ago, and there's been a lot more that's come forward since then. So we're all getting a whole new exposure and a new depth with this material. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Crystal. I'm grateful to have you there, and thank you for your sharing. I can feel that you're making huge strides in your journey. Yeah.
We can feel you, Crystal Linda. Thank you. And are we going to take any? I know you said no raised hands, Brad. So.
No, I think we need to stick to that. We're doing an experiment now. Which for the last few months we've just been doing write-ins.
Apologies to anyone who wanted to speak in that way, and maybe you could write a question or whatever your concern is,
question, yes, please. If you have a question, please write in. We really want to hear your questions, and we've just we've just made that decision to do write-ins and see how that goes. So we're doing that for a few months now.
Okay. So I believe that's it, Brad, for all that we have.
Okay.
Today.
Okay, great. Well, that gives us time for a nice guided meditation and closure for our circle today. So, Barbara, thank you for your wisdom and your hosting, and thank you everybody for joining us today and helping hold this field of love. Yeah, Barbara, do you have any last comments, anything to say before we close?
Just thank you to everyone. We can feel all of your love and support as you're holding and sharing with each and every one of us. And for those of you who are students or have been students or graduates, there will be a square call, processing call, next week. So if there's something that's really up for any of you, please do reach out. This is about our coming together. So I look forward to being with you all next week. And thank you so much, Brad. It's been a wonderful, beautiful, and enlightening call. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara, and thank you for offering the Squares call to the students and graduates next week. And I'll be with anybody who wants to join the course. I'll be with you in 2 weeks from today. And then we're going to skip the spiritual weather report in October because every weekend will be booked with the course. It's 6 Sundays, so it'll take us through November 1st. And obviously, that's right before the presidential election in the United States. So then we'll resume our spiritual weather report calls again in November. So I'll look forward to seeing some of you in the course. And if you're not going to be joining us, then I'll look forward to seeing you in November. Okay, so let's take a few long deep breaths and get comfortable. Just close your eyes and relax. If you're multitasking, I invite you to pause. This is a great opportunity to just give yourself to this moment, to be present with your spiritual journey right here, right now. Nothing else to do, nowhere to go, just being right here, right now. Continue the long, slow, deep breathing. We've been talking a lot, and we've stirred up a lot of energy and thoughts and emotions. So time now to just breathe and let all that go. Breathing in calm, breathing out the turbulence. Breathing in peace, breathing out any stirring up of emotions, any chaotic thinking. Just let it all go. And I invite you now to put your attention in the heart center, which is right in the center of your chest, just an inch or so, a few fingers width up from your sternum, right in the center of the heart there. It's your heart chakra. And see it and feel it like a beautiful flower opening out in front of you, like a trumpet-shaped vortex opening out of your chest. You might see it as a certain color. Maybe it's soft pink or green or gold. Feel the flower opening up petal by petal. And feel the wellspring of love that bubbles up from inside your chest. The heart center is where this perpetual spring of love bubbles up inside you. So just allow that, feel it, visualize it. Feel it glowing and radiating inside your chest, filling up your whole chest cavity with this energy of love and light. And feel it pouring out your heart chakra as the heart chakra blooms like a beautiful rose in front of your chest. And let's also, while we do this, let's practice the inner smile again, because the inner smile is connected to this exercise of opening the heart chakra and feeling the wellspring of love that is perpetually bubbling up inside our chests. So just visualize yourself smiling, and if you happen to turn the corners of your mouth up, that's great too. Feel this radiating energy inside your chest, filling up your chest cavity so much that it starts to permeate your skin and exude outside your body through the heart chakra and even all around the back. So see another trumpet-shaped vortex going out the back of your heart, and feel the light and the love filling up the back of your chakra, the back of your body and the back of your chakra as well. This wellspring of love bubbling up, this beautiful loving light that fills up your whole aura through these vortexes that go out the front of your chest and the back. Feel it spilling over, and it's a beautiful ecstatic energy. When you feel the love energy, it's also joy. So allow it if you can. If you're not in a very, very depressed place and you can allow this joy, just let it permeate you. Let it fill you up. Feel your aura filling up with the color that you've chosen. Maybe it's the soft pink, rosy color, or gold. And feel how the love is starting to permeate your entire body and your entire aura. It's a beautiful feeling. And now, as you fill up and glow from head to toes with this beautiful, loving light, let's visualize all of us in this circle of many dozens of people around the world holding hands. And this is whether you're with us live or whether you're listening to this in the future. Doesn't matter, we're all together. So join the circle and let's hold hands in a circle with all of our invisible family of light around the globe. And I'd like you now, I invite you to share your energy of love with the people in the circle by sending it out your right hand. Send the love energy from your heart out your right hand to the person to your right. And receive with your left hand, receive the love that the person to the left of you is sharing. So it's a flow of love going around our circle. And this is real. This is not metaphorical. This is actually happening. So visualize it, feel it. Know that it's actually going on. That you're sharing your love with our community. And you're receiving the flow of love passing from your left to your right. And now let's reverse direction. Send your love out the left hand to the person to your left and receive the love from the person on your right. Feel the love flowing around in the circle. And this is amplifying the field of love that we've been creating for the last couple of hours. And so now, as the love circulates, I invite you to visualize in the center of our circle the planet Earth. And let's send our love, which is vast now. We're holding a vast field of love. So send it right into the Earth. Surround the Earth with our field of love that we've created. And let's also send it especially to the people of Washington, Oregon, California, all the western states, Nevada, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, all the states. But especially the people and the ecosystems and the animals who are in extremis. We send you love, surround you with energetic upliftment. And I know some of you may be on this call, so receive it. If you're one of the ones affected, receive the love that we're all sending. God bless you. And I also include now, let's send our love also to people of Brazil who are having such a hard time. Especially the rainforest there has been burning badly, more than ever before. It's been burning. And those are the lungs of the earth. So we send our love to the people and the plants and the animals and the ecosystems there that are affected. And all over the earth, for anybody, any ecosystem or animal or person affected by extreme weather, by war, by illness, by poverty, by suffering of any kind, loss, we send you love and healing. So let's just take a moment in silence to allow this blessing to surround the planet and all who need it. And so we give thanks today to all the beings in the invisible realms who have been surrounding us in love and support. We give thanks to our beloved Leslie, who's been transmitting Shakti to us for the last couple of hours. We give thanks for the opportunity to gather together and share our love. And we give thanks for the blessing of these beautiful bodies that we get to wear for a few years on this beautiful planet, even during challenging times. We're so grateful for this moment in time. This pivotal moment for humanity, for the earth. And we ask, please hold our hands as we walk out into the world today so that we can share our love and share our joy with others, and so that we can live the new paradigm of the heart in our own lives. I'm deeply, deeply grateful for the support we receive. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And so for now, we'll close our call for today. And I invite you, if you'd like to stay in meditation for a few more moments, Leslie and I will do that. And just know how much we love you and how much we send you our support on the inner planes. And I look forward to seeing some of you for the course in a couple of weeks, and the rest of you, hopefully, we'll see you in November. And many, many, many blessings between now and then. Bye for now.